We begin this hour with a voice of one man who wore our country's uniform for 35 years. General Dan Bolger is a retired three-star Army Lieutenant General. He commanded the training of Iraqi forces in 2006, ran the 1st Cavalry Division in Baghdad in 2009, and led the training of the Afghan forces from 2011 to 2013. Bolger's just published book on his experiences is called Why We Lost, making it nearly alone in the memoirs of military commanders. What might General Custer have called his memoirs if he had survived? We'll never know. We learn a lot from Bolger, though, and he is no Custer. Bolger says our military did what it was supposed to. It toppled regimes in Iraq and Afghanistan, but then the mission changed. We would not abandon those places, we were told, to chaos and instability. We would remake them in our image. A monstrous mistake, Bolger says.
I would say, how do you abandon people when it's their country? I mean, essentially, we helped them. We got rid of those despotic regimes, you know, the Al-Qaeda and Taliban network in Afghanistan, Saddam Hussein's Baathists in Iraq. But then you got to turn it over to the local folks, and it will be messy, and it will be a problem. It won't look like we want it to look. It won't be Jeffersonian democracy. But you know what? It will be their solution. And I think we got to have the humility to recognize that we can't solve every single problem.
Most of the worst injuries and fatalities in Iraq and Afghanistan came after the U.S. made the decision that we would rebuild both countries. The population responded bravely with elections, with hopes for a proper government, after time, a loss of faith in the United States, and IEDs, the explosive devices that have defined these wars and changed the life of soldiers like Robert Nico Gill.
I remember my platoon sergeant yelling, "Gill's dead, Gill's dead." I had shrapnel to the hands, I had shrapnel in my face. I actually had the Iraqi driver's hand in my hatch. And after that, me as a person, I was out. I couldn't control my hands anymore. They would shake really bad. All the emotions that I hid and swallowed for all the previous engagements, just I couldn't hold them no more. I used to get paralyzed. And I would lock up in my bed, and it would catch fire, and I would see myself burning alive. And I'd be trying to call out for help, but I just couldn't.
General Dan Bolger feels responsible for soldiers like Gill. He bravely holds himself accountable for the human consequences of two wars gone wrong.
The great performance of our men and women in uniform, the bravery and sacrifice of them and their families, to a degree, always gave me confidence that even though things weren't going exactly the way I thought they were, that somehow we would pull it out if we stuck with it. And what became more and more evident as the weeks turned into months and months turned into years was that the methods we were using weren't going to work regardless of how good our people were. And they were great. And we had the support of the American people, which was wonderful. What we did is we misused our military. The U.S. volunteer military is designed, John, to fight in short, decisive wars, something like a Desert Storm or the Kosovo 99 operation. It's not designed to go village to village for 10, 12 years trying to sort out disputes between various insurgents groups. We're just not configured that way. And when you use us that way, no matter how long you work at it just doesn't work out.
It's called the Department of Defense, and this book tells the story of America's interaction in the Middle East from the attack on the coal straight up until really the present day. Is America any good at defense or fighting war? The department used to be called the Department of War.
Yeah, I think we got to put it in perspective. The Pentagon is excellent at defending America. I mean, one thing that we should not forget in all the dismay over the results of these fights in Afghanistan and Iraq, since 9/11, there's been no major attacks on the American homeland. So the defensive aspect in that regard, we work at it very well. And when we fight the types of wars that we're suited for, we also do very well. Desert Storm, the early phases in both Afghanistan and Iraq in 2001, 2003. It's when we do things that we're not well suited for, the counterinsurgency, the nation building, if you will, and we stick with it even though it doesn't seem to be working, that's where we get ourselves in trouble. And frankly, it does cause our citizens to be dismayed, and they should be.
And this isn't really an issue of we're not good at it. Nobody can be good at it. I really love how you absolutely take off the gloves as far as General Petraeus is concerned and General McChrystal is concerned. I mean, all of that discussion of counterinsurgency and hearts and minds that just chilled me to the bone thinking about the Vietnam era. it ends up looking like, you know, General Petraeus was trying to get another doctorate by his little operation in Iraq, and it was never going to work. Is that what you believe?
Well, that's what I came to believe. I will tell you one thing for sure. I have a lot more sympathy with the British generals on the Western Front in World War I. When I used to go to school, I would say, how could those guys be so stupid? What you realize now is they were well-meaning men. They were doing what they were trained to do, and it took time for them to figure out this isn't working. And I think the same thing happened, at least for me and for many of my colleagues within the American military. We realized as the months built up, it wasn't working. And you mentioned this counterinsurgency business. You know, we got it wrong from the outset. If a country is going to counter an insurgency, they, the Afghans or Iraqis, must take the lead. An outside force, no matter how strong, the United States cannot go in there and do that. We did learn that in Vietnam. And I studied Vietnam, and as I think about it, I'm appalled that I repeated it twice, once in Iraq and once in Afghanistan.
You really take personal responsibility here. I mean, it's written in your notes. It's referenced again and again in the book here.
In the military, we say that the commander is responsible for everything his unit does or fails to do. I was a commander in both Iraq and Afghanistan. I was a general officer commanding in both countries, and we failed in our mission. And to me, if you want to solve these problems, if you want to properly defend America, you got to start by being honest about what happened. And I think I know I owe that to the brave soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marine that I fought alongside. They did their best. And part of me doing my part is to say where I didn't do it right. And what can we learn from this?
You know, I've spent a lot of time at Walter Reed. You've spent probably a lot more time at Walter Reed than I have. And, you know, as someone who's just a reporter, I mean, the closest I get to something like combat is to watch a movie like Lone Survivor. But even in that case and in the books that I've read on Afghanistan in particular, extraordinary bravery. I mean, what these guys endure is just unbelievable. Triple amputees at Walter Reed, but talking with people with brain injuries who will never recover. I mean, right. On Veterans Day, what's in your heart?
Well, I was there with them and in the same risk and all that. I was not a general who sat in a desk or in a command post. I was out with my people like I was supposed to be. And so in that regard, I borrow from a guy who was born on Veterans Day, George Patton, in 1885. It would have been 129 years old this Veterans Day. George Patton, when he used to visit the wounded, would tell him, if I was a better general, you people would not be here. And that's what I would say to him. If I was better at my job, if I worked harder and tried harder, those folks, you folks, would not be here. And that is something I carry every day.
What do we make of the political leaders here? Do we just erase them out of the picture? Are they more or less responsible for what's gone on? Is President Obama someone who's accomplished something here? Has he ended wars? Has he continued policies? I'm so confused. I don't know what to think, General.
Well, I would say this. The political leadership, frustrating as it can be for the American citizens, both the Bush administration after 9/11, the Obama administration in the follow-on, they kept their main focus on preventing attacks on the homeland. And in almost every case, they received the advice from the military to proceed as they are proceeding. Now, sometimes they modified it. Sometimes they didn't do everything they were told by generals or admirals. But by and large, when we asked for a surge of troops in both Iraq and Afghanistan, we got it. When we wanted to stay in and fight a counterinsurgency in both countries, we were told it was okay. Go ahead and do so. I think the discussion that never occurred between the people wearing the suits and the people wearing the uniforms was, how long do you want to stay at this? As you said, do we want this to be a colonial experience, 40, 50 years, to take over these countries and truly quell these insurgencies and change their structures internally? Or do we want to just do enough to prevent terrorist attacks from there? And if it was the former in both countries, both Afghanistan and Iraq, we should have pulled out after the first few months.
What about the future? Is the best way to defend the homeland to stay home? Or do we need to think about confronting China in the Pacific and projecting our power like we did with the USS Cole in more places around the world?
What I would say is that we need to recognize our limits and be a little bit humble about our use of force. As good as our military is, it can't do everything or be everywhere. And so we need to be selective about where we go. the generation that fought in Vietnam, the guys like Norman Schwarzkopf and Colin Powell, were very, very reluctant to even get involved in the first Gulf War. When they did, they fought it to victory, but they always warned what could go wrong. And I think we need to think a little bit more before we put troops in somewhere like to battle ISIS or to confront the Chinese. We need to think it all the way through, what could go wrong, and have that discussion. How long are we in it? You know, one thing that I would point out is the last authorization for use of force that was debated and passed by a vote in Congress was in 2002 that led us into Iraq in 2003. We've been doing a bunch of stuff since then, Libya, back into Iraq, continuing in Afghanistan. Where's the congressional hearings? Where's the authorization for use of force? And that's where the American people can interact and have their say, and then we need to listen to them.
Fix the political system. Oh, boy, that's a big challenge. General, I want to say have a happy Veterans Day, but I don't think that's the right word. Maybe meaningful Veterans Day is more appropriate. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.